is that if we look at their stories, there's warning signs that lead up to Peter's failure. Like, he didn't just fail overnight, did he? There was a process that took place, and that's what I want to look at. It's these warning signs. So let me kind of set the situation here. They're at the Last Supper, which we just took communion, and that's what we were talking about. That's when Jesus instituted that. He's there with his 12 disciples, and it's not like the picture that we've all seen painted. They were not all sitting on the same side of the table. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? He was, they were there, and you got to tell, it was a tense time. There was a lot of stuff that was going on. Jesus had just told them that one of you guys is going to betray me. Like, whoever dips their hand in with this cup, and we know it was Judas, I've got to imagine they had an idea that it was Judas. Because he dipped his hand, he did that, and then the scripture says Judas got up and left. So they're probably thinking, oh, there goes the dirty rascal right there, you know. He's the one that's going to do it. I don't know what they were thinking. And then Jesus, after that happens, Jesus makes a statement that shook all of them. And it's found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. He told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And here's the thing, the disciples are thinking, wait a minute, not just the betrayer, not just the scoundrel that just left, but all of us are going to fall away? And the scripture, nobody says anything except for Peter. What does Peter say? Peter replies, even if all these other knuckleheads fall away on account of you, no, he didn't say that. But he says, even if all of these others fall away, what does he say? I never will. Not me. You know, these guys might, not me. And Jesus responds, and he says, this very night, even before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me three times. But Peter declares, look at this statement. This is pretty boastful, right? Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. I will never do it. How many of you, he's saying, I'm on your side, Jesus. It, like I said, even if, you know, these other guys, they're good friends and all, but they're not very strong. But I'm strong. I can do that. I'm going to be there no matter what. Yeah, they'll probably be scattered, but Jesus, I'm on your side. Prison, death, torture, whatever, I'm right there with you, right? Peter was convinced that he would never fall. I've got this, right? He was better than all the rest. Even though they were weak, he thought, I'm strong. Right, I've got it. And the pride-filled Peter, how many of you realize, we know he was wrong. He was wrong, wasn't he? There were warning signs that I believe God placed in the way as he was headed on this road to failure. It was coming up, and so I want to talk about those three of them today, the warning signs that are there. The first one is pride. How many of you know pride gets you every time? Right? It nails you. You know the things that pride says? Pride says, I can handle things on my own. I got this, you know. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me what to do. I won't mess up. I won't fail. Yeah, I know other people have done the same thing. They've crashed and they've burned, but not me. I've got this. I got to figure it out. I can handle it. You know, pride says things like this, like, you know what? I know I'm a recovering alcoholic, but I can go still hang out with my friends at the bar. I can still go there. I've got this. I'm strong. I won't. I know other people relapse, but I would never do that. So I can do that. Pride says things like this. You know what? It's okay if I flirt with this guy or this girl. I'll never let it go too far, right? I would never actually have an affair. That happens to other people, not me, right? So we're just being friendly. We're just playing around here. Pride says things like, I don't need any help. I don't want any help. Because I've got it. I can handle this. Pride says things like, I don't need to be accountable. No, I'm good. I've got this. I don't need counseling, right? Nobody's ever said that. I don't need any kind of counseling, right? I can figure this out on my own. Yeah, I know I'm in a mess. Pride says things that I will never fall. Other people, but not me, right? Because I can handle it. Let me say, I remember this was years ago. There was an individual that his life, it just kept falling apart, and he tried to get it back together, and it would fall apart, and it was like he would not submit himself to the Lord. He wouldn't surrender his life to Christ, not completely. And I remember that God gave me this little visual picture that I gave to him, and I've thought about it often over the years, and I said, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but I said, you know, God is showing me, how many of you ever built a castle, sandcastle on the beach? A lot of you. That's fun, isn't it? And you put all that work in there, but you go back the next day, and what happened to it? It's gone. The tide came in and washed it away. And I told him, I said, you know, God showed me your house is like this sandcastle, and you're trying to hold everything together. And then the tide starts coming in. Did any of you guys ever the wave, and you try to dig a ditch to keep the water out of it? Right, you try to like protect it, and I saw him try holding this sandcastle, trying to hold it together, but that tide just kept coming in. And what pride does is says, "No, I can hold it together. I've got this. I don't need, you know." But let me tell you, circumstances and life is eventually the tide is going to wash it all away. And so pride will not let you get there. Proverbs 16:18 says this: "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Can I give it to you in the Message version? First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Boom, right? How many of you know that is true? If I can't learn to humble myself, then and I'm hanging on to pride, if I think that I've got this, well, let me just say this. The person that feels like, oh, you know what? I will never fall. I'll never do it. That's precisely the one that is going to fall. If you think that that's you, and listen, it's not a bad habit sometimes to think about who in life might be hurt if I fall. Who in life am I going to hurt? Because I want to say this, your failure doesn't just affect you. When I fall, it affects other people. It affects your family. It affects friends. It affects whoever is around you. It makes an impact. So sometimes it's not a bad thing to think, okay, if I fail, if I give in to whatever this is, what is the price that I'm going to have to pay? And listen, if you think, I don't need this message because I'm not going to fall, guess what? You're already on the path. Right? I don't need this. Oh, you know what? Last week was good, Pastor, but I think I'm good with this week because I'm doing pretty good. Because I'm too smart. I've been on this road too long. I'm too holy. I'm just so close to God that I'm never going to face that. Right? How many of you realize that's a dangerous place to be? Peter, or Jesus told Peter before the rooster crows three times, before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me. Anyway, you guys know what I'm saying. Before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me three times. And Peter was too proud to admit that that was even a possibility. Like, no, not me. I would never do it. You're wrong, Jesus. I'm going to prove it to you. And so what happens? Verse 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And listen, Jesus knew his biggest test was coming. Right? It wasn't unexpected. He's been telling the disciples that this is coming. And even though Jesus came to earth to die, that didn't make it any easier. See, what we don't always realize is that Jesus, yes, he was 100% God, but at the same time, he was 100% human. Right? He was dealing with two natures, and it's kind of hard to us to wrap our mind around, but you know, he knew that there was torture that was going to happen, and he was not looking forward to that. He was willing, he was obedient, the scripture says, to death, even death on a cross, but that didn't mean he was like, woohoo, this is going to be fun, right? He wasn't, it was sorrowful, and he was troubled. And in verse 38, as he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. How many of you ever felt like that? Just overwhelmed with sorrow. And he's saying to Peter and the other two, stay here and keep watch with me. And that keep and watch is to stay awake and pray with me. That's what he's saying. Listen, I just need somebody to stay here and to pray with me. And I don't know if you can imagine Jesus asking you that. If you heard Jesus say, hey, listen, can you just keep watch with me? This is the same Jesus who called Peter from that fishing business. And he caught all of that fish. He's the same Jesus that healed the cripple and gave sight to blind eyes, who touched the leper when nobody else would. The same Jesus that interrupted a funeral to raise a guy from the dead. I mean, he fed 5,000. He spoke to the storms and told them to be quiet. All of that. And then Jesus is just saying, listen, I'm overwhelmed. I'm troubled. I feel like I'm going to die. Can you just stay awake with me for just a little bit and watch with me and pray with me? Verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. So he's asked him to stay and pray with him, and then he's praying, right? He's not just like watching to see if they are. But then it says that he returned his disciples, found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for just 1 hour? Just 1 hour. That's all that they had to do. And I'm wondering if Peter, because I remember being my time in the military when you would have to be guard duty all night long. How many of you know you did not sit down and get in a comfortable position? Am I right, John? Like, okay, I'm on guard duty tonight. Let me get me a little comfortable chair right here, you know, and just I'm going to stay awake. No, you're going to fall asleep, right? You got to stand up. They didn't have coffee back then. I'm sure Peter would have been like, if I just had some coffee or if I just had a Red Bull, I think I might be able to make it, right? But he didn't do it. He fell asleep. Jesus told Peter to pray, and Peter took a nap, all right? So he's like, couldn't you even watch for me? So he says, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. And let me just pause right here. Jesus knew that his greatest test was coming, but he also knew Peter's was coming. And we're never going to know what would have happened had Peter stayed awake and pray, because prayer makes a difference, that you will not fall into temptation. Instead of praying, he fell asleep. And guess what? He gave into that temptation. But he says, the spirit is willing, the body is weak. He went away a second time, right, to pray. And when he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away one more time for the third time. And guess what? They fell asleep for the third time. Three times. Each time, Peter's going to sleep. This is the Peter that pledged complete allegiance to Jesus. And he disobeyed him how many times? Three times. He went and took a nap. That's how you end up on that road to failure. You know, I know, Jesus, what you said. I know that I need to spend time in your word. I know that I need to pray. But come on, Jesus, I'm just a little bit too tired today. It's been a rough week. You know what? I'll catch you next week. I know that I should be in church, but you know what? I've got my socks are dirty, and I've got all these other things going on, so I'm not sure if I can make it today, God. Whatever the situation is, we know, and yet we still do, and that's really the second warning sign that God puts in our path on the road to failure is disobedience, right? It's strange. Somehow we just don't make that connection, do we? Like my disobedience is the very connection to my failure. If we're wondering why we failed, we got to go back to find out where was I disobedient, right? If you're walking in obedience, you're not going to end up in failure. And somehow we miss that. We disobey God concerning our finances because, oh man, it's a little tight. You know what? I really don't want to tithe. I'm not going to trust God with my money. And we disobey and we wonder why our finances are a mess. Right? We disobey God concerning conflict resolution. Right? And let me just say this. Everybody has conflict in their life. Right? Is there anyone here who has never had conflict with anybody? Right? I don't see anybody online. You've never had conflict. You know, everybody has conflict. And we have a choice when that conflict happens. Am I going to go and make it right like Jesus tells us to? Go and make it right with somebody. Leave your gift at the altar and go make it right. Or would I rather gossip? Would I rather stir up trouble? You know what, that so-and-so, you know what they did, you know what they said to me. I'm going to get people on my side, and we're going to form a committee against this person, and we're going to gang up on them, right? We wonder why we don't have any friends when that happens, right? Or what about relationship failures? We disobey God concerning maybe sex outside of marriage, right? We don't want to wait. Come on, we're going to get married anyway. We don't care, but then we wonder why things don't work out. Do we make that connection? Do you understand that there is a connection between our disobedience and our failure? It's right there. We just don't want to look at it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will almost always harvest what you plant. No, always. What we plant, I've never planted, I don't really plant stuff. My wife does the gardening, but she's never planted like a tomato plant and got like cucumbers out of it. What we plant, that's what we're going to harvest. And then he says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, what are we going to harvest? Decay and death from that sinful nature. If I just live in disobedience to God, I'm going to get to harvest decay and death. That sounds awesome, right? Like, oh yeah, a little decay in my life. I would love that, you know, and death. But to those who live to please the Spirit, those that are walking in obedience will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. I mean, it's that simple. It really is. It's inevitable that when we disobey God, we are already on that path to failure. You're like, well, I haven't failed yet. My sandcastle is still standing a little bit right now. But let me tell you, you're on the road. Like if you're on the road and it says bridge out ahead, do we ignore that warning sign? Yeah, I think I can make it. I've watched the Dukes of Hazzard. I've seen them jump a few of those things, right? I think I can clear it, right? And we think that, but we're wrong. And so let's go back to the story of Peter. Moments before Peter's failure, just before Jesus is arrested in verse 50, it says, the men stepped forward, the guards are there, seized Jesus, they arrested him, and with that, one of Jesus' companions, which we know from the Gospel of John, it was Peter, he reaches for his sword. I want you to imagine this plan. The disciples, Peter's a fisherman, right? He's not a soldier. There's soldiers coming with shields, with swords, spears, who knows what kind of weaponry that are used to fighting battles, and they're coming. Peter reaches for his sword, drew it out, struck the servant of the high priest with accuracy, and cut off an ear, right? Like that's a pretty good cut, right? Like, if I don't know if I was swinging, like, I would have probably taken a chunk of head at the same time. But he just cut his ear off, and the servant of the ear cutting off his ear. Do I have the name? And Jesus tells him, put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. So Jesus knew what was happening, and he told him about it. But in that heat of the moment, all of a sudden, Peter thought he had a better plan. I got a good plan. I got an idea. All these soldiers are coming at me. I'm the only one here with a sword. I'm about to go kung fu on all of you guys. I don't know what Peter was thinking was going to happen after he cut off the ear of the servant. Like, okay, come on, who's ready? Who's next, right? Come on, soldiers, bring your shield, bring your armor, whatever. I'm going to take you. How many of you think that's a little foolish? Like, Peter, did you really think this plan all the way through? I don't know about you, but there's times that I've done things, and I didn't think it all the way through, right? Anybody else been there? Well, it's like, oh, I'm just going to do it and let the chips fall where they may. How many of you know sometimes you don't like where the chips fall, right? Sometimes they're not in a good place, and Peter just jumps on it and thinks, hey, listen, let's see how this is going to work out. What's he going to do next now? I mean, if Jesus didn't intervene, Peter would have been dead, right? Jesus reached down, picked up the guy's ear. Now, that would have been enough. If I was one of the guards and I saw Jesus put somebody's ear on and he's healed, I would have been like, hey, listen, you arrest him. I'm not doing it, right? But we weren't there. So that plan was doomed from the start. And that's really the third warning sign that we're on the road to failure is our foolishness. When we begin to follow our own plan instead of God's plan. And every time, I guarantee you, it's like stupid. Like, what was I even thinking about? Why would I even do that? And let me just say, if you can imagine, when we moved here to Cameron Park, Placerville area, we started hearing about all these little communities that are like off in nowhere. Oh, I'm from here. I'm from Somerset. I'm from this. I'm from Grizzly. We heard Grizzly Flat. And I want to tell you, the first time I heard Grizzly Flat, I thought about Grizzly Adams. I thought, there's a place up here where the grizzly bears are roaming around everywhere. I don't want to go there. I'm sorry. I've seen some of the things with grizzlies attack, but we've got a couple that's in our first service that actually live out at Grizzly Flat. And if I would have said, hey, listen, how do I get to Grizzly Flat? My GPS isn't working. I don't have a map. And they would have said, okay, well, you know what? You don't have a map. You don't have a GPS. I'm going to write out instructions for you to get there. And I want you to follow these instructions. You're going to get there. And if all of a sudden, you know, we start out on the road and I'm like, man, I don't need these instructions. I'm going to find it on my own. Would it be a surprise that I never ended up in Grizzly Flat? Right? You would be driving around all of these mountain roads going like, I don't even know which way to go. Which way do I go? How do I get there? And here's the thing. When you choose your own path, can I tell you, friends, you're going to fail. When I begin to decide that my plan is better than God's plan, then I can guarantee that somewhere down the road, it may not be yet, the tide may not have come in and washed my castle completely out, but it's only a matter of time since I'm following mine. It's not a big surprise. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Right? Isn't that we can all make a plan and follow a path that this is no big deal. I'm just going to follow this plan. I'm just going to whip out my sword and cut off the ear of the servant there. No big deal. But it says, look again, it leads straight to hell. There's a lot of paths that people follow in life. Looks like, oh, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad path. Oh, at least you're doing something good with your life. Can I tell you, you can do something good with your life and miss heaven. Right? You can do a lot of good things. And the goal in life is not just to accomplish a lot of good things. The goal in life is to follow after Him. And in the process of following after Him, your life is going to produce a lot of good things. So if I just look to do good things and do it without Him, then it looks harmless enough, but look out, it leads straight to hell. And it says, sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all the laughter will end in heartbreak. It is so true. And I just want to tell you, I've seen it over and over again. People get into a mess and they're like, I know what I was supposed to do. I knew that I shouldn't have gone down that path. I knew that God had a different plan for me, but I ended up going there anyway. Haven't you seen that? Maybe you've been there. And it's like, why did I do that? So let's go back to the rest of the story. And let me remind you of what Jesus told Peter. He said, I think I have it up here. I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And I want to go to the Gospel of Luke and pick up the story. Then seizing him, they led him away, took him to the house of the high priest. And Peter followed where? At a distance. The one that says, I'm never going to leave you, I'm going to follow you, don't worry, I've got your back. He's not right there, he's at a distance. He's like, I'm kind of following. I don't want to make sure nobody sees me. I know I'm right there, you know. I'm there with you, Jesus. But he really wasn't, right? Verse 55, when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down, Peter sat down with them. So the trial and everything is being held over there. There's a fire over here, and Peter's hanging out with these guys, right? He was way out there. In verse 56, a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it and said, woman, I don't even know him. Strike one. A little later, someone else saw him and said, oh, you're also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. Strike two. How many of you know when you're in baseball, that's not a good thing? Strike two, uh-oh. Well, about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, he must know Joe Biden. He keeps using the word man a lot, right? Sorry. Man, I don't even know what you're talking about. Here we go. If there was an umpire there back at that time, strike three, you're out. Three times. Mister, I'll never leave you. I'll be there. Even if all the others fall away, I'll go to jail with you. I'll die with you. He pretended that he didn't even know Jesus three times. Peter turned his back on his friend, his leader. He'd already identified Jesus as the Messiah earlier. We talked about that the other week. The Son of God. You're the Son of the living God. And now Peter is not just a failure, but he's a traitor. What is it? What do you mean he's a traitor? A traitor is somebody that abandons their beliefs, abandons their friends, abandons their country. They're nowhere to be found. That's what a traitor is. And that's where Peter is right now. And as soon as he said, I don't even know him, look at what happened. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Just as he was speaking, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. That had to be the worst moment in Peter's life. The heart sink that took place at that moment. Can you imagine that? Have you ever gotten a look of disappointment from somebody? Like somebody that you really respected, somebody that you really thought, man, you know, I want to please them more than anything else, and they gave you that look. Let me tell you, having that look from Jesus would have to be 100 times worse, right? And he heard that denial. I don't think Jesus actually heard the denial. There was probably a lot of commotion going on, but he heard the rooster, and he knew what he told Peter, and the scripture says that he turns and he looks at him. And then immediately, then Peter remembered, as he saw Jesus looking at him, he remembered the word of the Lord spoken to him before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me three times. He went outside and he wept bitterly. Peter went from the guy that says, I'll die with you, to being the guy that I don't even know you. I don't know this guy. His worst moment, unfortunately, is the one that we remember. The guy who walked on water turned his back on Jesus. And he said, I don't even have any idea who you are. And this is what I want to show you in this story because it is a predictable pattern. Listen, if you don't want to end up in failure, if you want to succeed, if you want to be what the scripture says, what God has called us, more than an overcomer, then we've got to learn this pattern that happens, because this road to failure, it begins with pride. I got this. I can do it, God. I don't need it. Pride is simply our self-reliance instead of God-reliance. I'm strong enough. I can do this. I don't need that. Let me tell you, I remember when I first got saved and started following God. Do you realize I was at church every moment I had? If the doors were open, I was there. If there was a Bible study, I was there. If there was a prayer meeting, I was there. How many of you identify what that was like? Like, I knew that I needed God. I knew that I needed more. I knew that I needed to learn. And listen, I've seen it over and over again. The longer we serve God, we start to pull back our commitment. We start to step back a little bit. We slowly drift away from saying, I need you, to simply being, I need you, but I got this also at the same time. I need you, God, but I think I'm good for this week. You know what? I'm not going to desert you over the week. God, come on, I'm still following after you. I'm still serving you. Because here's the thing, the road to failure, it begins with that pride. And that pride leads to disobedience. Like, oh, you know what, I got a better plan than that. And that disobedience leads to foolishness. And from the outside looking in, how many of you, maybe you've seen this happen. You see somebody that was serving God, that was loving him, and you see them making these foolish mistakes, and you're like, stop it. Right? You want to like grab them and shake them. Anybody ever want to grab and shake somebody? Like, you know better than that. It's kind of like whenever you watch like a scary movie on TV and you know where the murderer's at and the people are walking to that room and you're wanting to tell them, stop! Don't go into that room. Anybody ever yell at your TV? Like maybe the quarterback or whatever, throw the ball right, whatever it is. We're saying, don't do that. Listen, foolish mistakes do not happen overnight, do they? Like if you have an affair, it didn't happen just that one day. It has already been going. Pride, oh, I'm not going to go there. That's not going to happen to me. I won't do that. And then we start making those decisions. It is a process. There are warning signs that God allows in our life. And if we see ourselves on that process, and Timothy, if you could come up, because I believe that just like Peter, that if we ignore those warning signs, we're going to fail. If we ignore the warning signs, we're going to fail. And listen, I know this is a tough lesson, but it's real. And my wife and I, we were praying on the way coming up here, and she shared a little bit about the whole debt thing, but she also told me, she said, you know, I really felt like God showed me a bride, and we are the bride of Christ. The Bible says that he's coming back for a bride that is spotless, right? And we're like, oh man, I got a long ways to go before that happens. Well, not if you've got the blood of Christ. But she didn't know what I was speaking about. And I really felt like the Lord is saying, listen, the world has beaten them up. People have been walking in failure. And listen, I'm leaving this message at this point right here. Next week, I'm going to talk about Peter's restoration, which is great, right? But right now, I think we need to get to the point and realize, you know what? If I've been beaten up, if I have taken on failure, if I am carrying that, and I realize maybe I'm on the road, maybe your sandcastle is still partly built, but you know that it's coming down, then I want to tell you, it is an easy step to get back in alignment with Him. Amen? Can I have everybody stand? There's always a long road leading away from God, right? Making our own little step. People check out, you know, mentally way before they check out physically. And so when we find ourselves, and I think about the prodigal son who took that long trip to the pig pen, you know, I don't know how long, because it was a story, but how long did it take him to run out of his money? How long did it take him to finally end up in that job feeding pigs? That was a long process. But you know how quick it is to return back to Him? I love the scripture that it says that when he came to his senses, he arose and he says, I'm going to go back to my Father's house. I'm going to go back to my Father's house. And so I want to encourage you. Maybe you've not walked away, but you realize, you know what? I've allowed some of that pride into my life. I felt like I got this. I didn't need God in this situation. Maybe you didn't spend time really praying about the situation, the circumstance you're in. But you want to get back on track with Him. All it takes is just a simple surrender. So, Father, as we come to You today, Father, we know that You are that loving Father that is represented in that parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. And so, Father, where we've begun to drift, if you're here today and you realize in your heart, I've started to do some drifting, I've started stepping back, but you want to make that fresh commitment to Him, I'm not going to have you come up here or anything, but I want you just to do business with God in your heart. Say, God, I've trusted myself a little bit too much. Lord, I want to lean back on You 100%. I don't want to end up at the end of the road. I don't want to end up denying You and acting like I don't even know You. But Father, where there's been pride in my heart, Lord God, show it to me. Open my eyes so that I might see that. So that I might end up on the other side walking in victorious and not walking in shame. Father, I thank You that You are a loving God. Thank You, Lord.